Joining us now is Ed Mansouri. He is the founder of WeatherSTEM. Ed, thanks so much for taking time out to talk with us today.
Oh, thanks for talking to me. It's a real pleasure to talk to you as always.
We had the pleasure of having you on the Carolina Weather Group a few years ago. I had the pleasure of meeting one of your crews when they did an install in Rock Hill, South Carolina. And since then, your network has just grown and grown. So for anyone who is not familiar with WeatherSTEM, tell us about it.
WeatherSTEM, it represents an intersection of innovative weather technology, hardware and software. So you mentioned our network expanding, and the network consists of strategically placed what we call WeatherSTEM units. So these are WeatherSTEMs. These are sites that have a modern weather station that is keeping track of the atmosphere at that location moment by moment. Cameras that are telling the story. So the weather instruments measure the temperature, measure the wind speed, measure the pressure, measure the data that describes what the atmosphere is doing at that location. But then the cameras take a step further and they create this journal that really helps us understand what's happening and what has happened at these sites, because we're storing the data perpetually and we can go back in time and see what it was at a particular place at a particular point in time.
Your cameras have captured updrafts, downdrafts, tornadoes, lightning, hurricanes, and of course, snow to run the kind of the gamut there. Who is the consumer of all this data, Ed?
Well, the business model, if you will, of WeatherSTEM is really evolving. We started, as you may remember, when we first had the opportunity and the privilege to meet you guys. I believe I shared that our program started with an educational beginning, okay? And the STEM in our company's name, WeatherSTEM, is not gratuitous. My background, I am a meteorologist. That's what I went to school for. But in the 15 years before I started WeatherSTEM, I ran an online education software company, okay? And a lot of my work was in the state of Florida. And WeatherSTEM started, to refresh your memory, by developing weather curriculum, okay? We created a course for high school students in the state of Florida, an online course about weather. That was how WeatherSTEM started. Then we got the idea. We said, well, what if we could put a weather station up at a school and then use the weather information, use the weather data to help teach the course? So that was the genesis of WeatherSTEM. The initial focus was, let's collect weather data and have it used for educational purposes. But as time went by, we started to recognize that this data was useful for scopes well outside of education. So we have sort of pivoted and developed a core competency in weather technology that's used for situational awareness, emergency management, asset protection, to use sort of a term that's used in a lot of corporate environments. So that is sort of what we have shifted our focus toward.
I want to talk to you a little bit about how public officials, emergency managers use this in a moment, but to draw in our audience, they maybe have seen your product knowingly or unknowingly, recognizing it as some of those live pictures they see on big names like Fox Weather, where they're taking a live look at all of these communities across the country. So on this day, as we're talking about disaster response and things that happen in the local community, it's sometimes your cameras that, coupled maybe with storm chasers and those folks on the ground, allow people to virtually take an eye look at what's happening in those communities. How does that work, and how can that be beneficial for the public and for emergency managers?
Well, the ability to be at a remote location, far removed from a potentially hazardous situation, but still be able to monitor how that situation is unfolding and how it is impacting, property, how it is impacting neighborhoods. We've just gotten so much good feedback about how useful these systems are, particularly the cameras, during severe weather situations. During Hurricane Idalia, we were very proud that pretty much just the entire path of that storm, it moved over a lot of communities that had a lot of WeatherSTEM systems. And there was a lot of feedback that these systems were very useful and very beneficial to have. we've also talking about one of our kind of new initiatives. It's not so much a new initiative as far as like the technology, but as far as the packaging of it, we've come up with this vision that we call WeatherSTEM Hometown. Okay. And we've started, we're based, as you might remember, in Tallahassee, Florida, which is right on the very close to the Georgia border. Okay. And we've started rolling out this WeatherSTEM Hometown in Georgia. You have a town square. You have a lot of times you'll have like a railroad crossing, you'll have a drugstore, maybe some fast food restaurants, high school football field. So the vision for WeatherSTEM Hometown and the first deployment of this has been in Quitman, which is a small South Georgia town in Brooks County. And it has just been overwhelmingly popular because what we do is we put the system right in the town square. And a lot of these towns have these picturesque courthouses because they're often the county seats. So we capture the courthouse, which everyone in the community is familiar with. And then the system, the web and the mobile parts of the program sort of reach out and provide benefit to the whole community. Okay. You have this educational platform that is available to the schools, to the teachers, to the students. You have this real-time situational awareness data, lightning data, heat data, severe weather alert data that is available to law enforcement, emergency management personnel. You have rainfall data for the agriculturalists. And you have this beautiful camera view that the local business development folks, the Chamber of Commerce folks love because we make that view available to media outlets. That for instance, just using this Quitman camera as an example, that little town's camera has been on the Weather Channel numerous times, Fox Weather numerous times. So that's really one of our visions for 2024, is to expand this concept of weather from your town square coming to a small town near you. We really are excited about that.
You had me thinking, right? Like, I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. Our official weather observation is at the International Airport, but that is half an hour's drive from me. But you guys have numerous stations here in the Charlotte area, which allow people to get a little bit more hyper-local. And you have cameras all across the area, including some at big sporting arenas like Bank of America Stadium. And recently, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Charlotte Motor Speedway came online. So you guys have also kind of given an eye's view into some of these big venues for maybe decision support making at these venues as well. Is that right, Ed?
Yes. And that's the goal. It's interesting because we have WeatherSTEM at a lot of different sports venues, and the pathway to putting those there, it's almost like a different story at every one of those organizations. Just for instance, at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, we have a relationship with a group I know you're familiar with, WCCB, in Charlotte, and they use our cameras extensively in their on-air broadcasts, and they positioned one of these cameras at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, and like for instance at NC State, we were able to place a number of sensors, a number of cameras on their athletic properties. And that was in partnership with emergency management on campus. And then you'll have other campuses like App State, where the introduction was through athletics. So there's a different story for how we're putting these systems in these different athletic venues and these different athletic facilities.
Ed, how many stations in total are there?
We have just shy of 800 stations now. We should actually, we're doing kind of a bunch of installs as part of one of our big projects in Florida over the next couple of weeks. So we should be at 800 by late November, early December.
Talk to me a little bit about Florida. I know that's where a lot of the stations are. You mentioned that's kind of your home turf, but there's a lot of tropical weather there. And if memory serves, you guys do some extra special things to keep things up and running, maybe when the grid is down.
In the aftermath of Hurricane Michael, which, as you may recall, was originally classified as a Category 4 and reclassified as a Category 5. That made landfall in an area of Florida that was pretty weather station sparse, okay? East Bay County, West Gulf County, and up into Jackson County. And it turned out that at the time, there were very few weather monitoring systems or stations in that area. One of the counties that was impacted, an inland county, is Jackson County. And the only stations that were around during Hurricane Michael were systems we had installed at local schools in that county. And of course, when the winds got to be about 100 miles an hour, what happens at the school? The power goes out, the internet goes out. Okay, so in the aftermath of Hurricane Michael, we collaborated with the state of Florida's Division of Emergency Management. Okay, so the folks who are commissioned with keeping our 20 some million citizens safe, and we developed a specification for a hurricane-proof weather stem system. Okay, wind rated to withstand up to 185 mile per hour winds. It's going to, you know, have multiple cell connections, Verizon, AT&T. It's going to be 100% solar power. So it's going to be off the grid. Every state in this country has severe weather risks to people, to property. I'm not going to say that Florida has more than any other state, but we do have a lot of issues. Okay. We do have the hurricanes. We do have more lightning fatalities than any other states. We are third in tornado-related fatalities in the last 30-plus years, okay? So we feel that if we can build a system for Florida, we can build a system for just about anywhere.
You had mentioned that during Hurricane Michael, you guys had a lot of sensors in places where there weren't other sensors, and I can remember watching some of your live cameras as that historic storm made landfall. What were you thinking? What were you feeling as you were looking at the live video from your cameras?
Well, a story I'll tell you about that, okay? Our very first solar-powered cellular weather stem system was at the St. George Island Bridge, okay, which is in Franklin County, Florida, which is not far from where Michael made landfall, okay? And it was during the lead up to landfall, it was on the Weather Channel continuously, okay? But the cell phone signals were still working and our system was still sufficiently powered, okay? So right before landfall, the system went offline. And I was like, oh man, you know, I figured maybe the cell towers buckled, okay? Is I remember when we installed that system, okay, before Hurricane Michael, we were about 20 feet off the water. Like, so the components, like there's an enclosure, and inside of that enclosure, you have like a cellular modem, you have a solar inverter, you have some gear, okay? And I remember thinking, man, if this thing isn't high enough off the water, that'll be some hell of a storm. Well, guess what? It went underwater, okay? It got submerged. And that's why it went offline. And of course, you know, lessons learned, and you know, we kind of have took from that and better understood just how high off the water things need to be in future situations. But yeah, that was very memorable as far as that situation. But no, it was really me personally, you know, what is really I don't have a word for it, Mr. James. I don't have a word for the feeling. Like in a Hurricane Michael situation, like in an Idalia situation, where I am as a professional, I'm responsible for this network of weather monitoring systems that's being used by emergency management personnel in places that are about to have destruction and fatalities, while simultaneously protecting my own home and protecting my own family. Okay. And Michael, just shortly before landfall, it was on a trajectory to move over Tallahassee, okay? It made a last-minute wobble and spared us. I still had $15,000 of tree damage in my backyard, okay? But so that is a very viscerally complex part of this project for me. It is sort of in those situations where I have to sort of do double duty as managing and overseeing the technology while at the same time protecting myself, protecting my family.
You know, we say that weather impacts everything and everyone, and sometimes that includes us as well, too.
Yes.
Ed, you mentioned this data mostly available for free to the public. How do people go and check out your data if they want to learn more about it?
Well, at weatherstem.com, okay, just at our website, we have this list, this scrolling list of all of our stations. And we're working on, you know, one of the things I'll share that I'm excited about is we are working on a new software product that is going to be released hopefully in early 2024. And it is what's called an MMP. Okay. That's a term we've coined, a Mesonet management platform. Okay. So, you know, our app right now is in need of updating. I'll be the first to admit that, but on our app, on the WeatherStem app, it's freely available for iOS and Android devices. You can basically see all of our WeatherStem systems other than the handful that are proprietarily closed by the client. But you can see the live data. You can see the camera imagery. You can sort of browse around our system. There's a map feature. You can do the same on our website. Okay. So it's not hard. It's not too hard to find where all of these systems are. You know, we also have, since we last talked, we've come up with a new product called Blast, and we actually have, our first implementation of it in the Carolinas is recently at a golf course in the Raleigh area called Winding Creek. It's one of these systems that can blast a sound or blink strobe lights if lightning comes within a certain distance. So it's sort of an audio weather alarm for venues like golf courses, outdoor rec facilities, those sorts of things. So,
and am I right to recall that on Saturdays, on big college game days, people can go check out the weather conditions at a lot of college campuses alongside some scores and things that are happening? Is it a bit of a sports hub too?
Yes, exactly. And we're kind of I'll tell a quick story about that. Okay. Just, you know, very candidly, we created a college football and NFL weather tool. Okay. And basically what it does is it merges a weather data model, like forecast model, with data from our systems at various stadium venues with a sports data model. So schedules, scores, live scores, all of these different conditions. And you know, it costs us quite a bit of money. Okay. Like, and the piece of it that costs us money is actually the sports data model. Okay. We pay a company, an awesome company. These guys are great. They used to be called Fantasy Data, but now they're called Sports Data.io. I'll give them a plug happily. And basically they provide a model for like fantasy football players. Okay. And you know, they have, as I understand, they have probably their consultants are people probably around the country that they pay to watch games and record what's going on in the game in real time. Okay. And then they make that data available as a feed. And that's one of the core things that drives this program for us. Okay. So they don't give it to us for free. We have to pay for it. Okay. And it's awesome. But, you know, I promised our chief financial officer a couple of years ago, I promised that if it wasn't something that was at least breaking even for us, you know, we would discontinue it. Okay. So we discontinued it this year. Okay. But we discontinued it at the beginning of the season. And within the first couple of weeks, we had so many people reaching out to us like, hey, is that thing going to be back online? And I went to our, you know, chief financial officer. I said, Reagan, you know, we got to do something about this. So we reactivated it for a couple months to see if maybe we could like see about finding a sponsor for it. And what I found out that was amazing was just about everyone that like reached out. I took a few of them and asked them some questions about it. They were sports bettors. Okay. And a lot of them have told me that this is like the best. These are not my words. These were words that they said. They said this is the best by far sports weather betting tool out there. And I was like, well, geez. And you know, we had a lot of people that were saying, well, you know, you should make this a pay-based service. And I'll be honest, I have a philosophical dilemma with it. Because on the one hand, okay, we call ourselves an education company, WeatherStem. And then on the other hand, like a service for gamblers. I mean, hey, I have no problem with gambling. I don't do it myself. It's just not my thing. So, you know, having a business that caters to gambling is something that we just don't know. Okay. So, I'm happy to report that we have a sponsor lined up for next football season. Okay. So that is a little bit of a random or a rambling stream of consciousness about the story of this football weather tool and how it was something we created for fun, was costing us a lot of money. We had to discontinue it. And by discontinuing it, we realized that it was a hell of a lot better apparently than we thought it was.
Well, I know we've had the opportunity on our podcast to talk with folks who have been doing fantasy sports and use that weather data to help them decide which players will perform best. And now that sports betting is becoming more widely accepted, I can see that, Ed. And also, when it comes to the moral consciousness, that's the same dilemma so many states across the country are in right now, as they're trying to figure out how to handle that revenue themselves.
And here's what I predict, sir. From what I understand is that in Europe, they have gotten much more involved in what's called in-game betting. Okay. So bets that are made like micro wagers, like, okay, I'm going to bet 20 euros that this guy misses this penalty kick. Okay. And from what I understand, it's only a matter of time before that finds its way into mainstream betting in the United States. Okay. Like betting on the fly, like betting at the level, like I bet $20. This guy completes this pass for this fourth down. And at that point in time, you have to look at the weather. Okay. If you're making these bets on a play-by-play situation about things like at batting attempts in baseball, punts, passes, running plays, you have to look at what is the weather going on in the moment there.
Well, I think there's a lot of new experiences that people are trying to get up to speed on and make sure they don't get left behind on as we look ahead to the integration between sports betting and the role that weather plays in all of that. So it's going to be exciting times, Ed.
Well, we're pioneers in it. And, you know, we hope to have the opportunity to really go from a handful of stadiums that we have more than a handful. We have about 40. Okay. We have about 40 major college football and NFL stadiums that have full weather stem systems, but we want to see that expand by an order of 10 in the near future. Okay. And hopefully we can, you know, find the right ingredients of either a partnership or sales and marketing to help make that happen in the next year or two.
Ed, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and I appreciate your time today and your insight and all the data that you make available for all of us to use to help us track the weather and to learn.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for all you do. As you know, we have a lot of partners in the Carolinas, and we know that the Carolina Weather Group is a real treasure and very highly respected. So we're very excited to be partnered and just look forward to helping out any way we can.
I appreciate that very much, Ed.
Thank you.